You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, May the 29th, 2023, and you are listening to Grandpa Dan streaming here at RadioAlbion.com. And here we are. We're kicking off another week. I'm glad you joined us for the Monday installment of the Daily Nationalist. I'm going to keep reminding everybody we're not going to forget Sven Longshanks. And we will continue. I plan to continue to have the links down and at the bottom of these shows on these pages. We've got the Patriotic Alternative article page linked up, and down at the bottom they've got an address there if you want to send snail mail. As far as commissary support, if you go to the comments, you'll see where you can write Sven in prison, and these letters are going to be very, very important. Obviously he's going to feel very isolated being incarcerated, and having that contact with people and just to know that people haven't forgot and that isolation not setting in. We're going to have the link for the GoSendGo account. Once again, another way you can send to help, commissary, and also maybe get back on his feet when he gets out. And I also have the link to the prison website itself, which has has all the guidelines on prisoner contact. One of the main takeaways you need to remember from that as well is that all letters in any prison are opened and read before the inmates get them. So, bear that in mind. They're going to be reading you whatever you send. So, conduct yourself accordingly, which is something I have faith in the audience that shouldn't even have to be said. Well, anyway, as I said, this is Monday, May the 29th. And if you're here in the U.S., that means it's Memorial Day. And Memorial Day means it's our day to remember our troops, our heroes, died, fought for our freedoms. All throughout the years. I'm doing something a little different with today's show. And it's not like I'm changing the format. I'm not changing anything. I'm house sitting here for Sven till he gets back. I'm not changing anything up for Radio Albion. But for this particular show, I am changing something up. Instead of doing an actual news article, I thought we'd have a discussion on Memorial Day and on contextualizing Memorial Day, and as you come to understand the truth of the world around you, and so much of our history is a lie, and you study. I mean, here at Radio Albion, we have a lot of content geared towards history. Some of it ancient history, up to more modern history, and with what they call historical revisionism. I'll get that spit out here in a minute. One of the things that happens, you realize that the mainstream quote-unquote history that you were taught in all through your school life, from kindergarten all the way through college, if you attended college, is by and large basically like a rose-colored glasses, a glorified lie written by the victors, which, this is not something unique. All countries do that. Whoever wins is going to, of course, write themselves into the history books as the, brave, heroic defender of all that is good versus, vanquishing the forces of evil for all time. But, and I guess to a certain extent, that's fine for the general public, who really they seem to have this need to digest things in the most simplistic manner. But if you love the truth and you strive for the truth, you want to know what really happened. It's not a matter of, these guys are the demonized evil bad guys, and you understand that things happen on a scale. There's no such thing, generally speaking, there's no such thing as a ruler of the country doing something that's just evil for evil's sake. When you go studying history and you come to understand these things, you understand that, they had these economic reasons or these political reasons, and all this was going on. The propaganda thing, the whole good guys versus vanquishing the evil guys, that's just propaganda to keep the public on board to whatever the agenda is. You can't get the public on board. We're going to go fight and die in wars, or rather, you're going to go fight and die in wars. Those who are calling the shots are going to stay safely at home calling the shots. You're not going to get the public on board to go fight and die in war if you're talking about, you know, an economic advantage over some minerals or over some crops or natural resources somewhere. They're going to be like, well, yeah, that may be important to you and whatever corporation is pushing you to do this, but it ain't real big for me, especially now to the point where I'm going to go die for it. And as you come to understand these things, as you come to understand these, you kind of get, I guess, jaded towards things like Memorial Day. I always have this kind of like, I put this, you know, the stereotypical, quote unquote, patriotic American, you know, if you love your freedom, go think of that for your freedom. You know, because it's so silly because you're like, well, what freedoms are we talking about? Freedoms are we talking about exactly? Now, this can bring about a certain level of kind of, jadedness. And I've seen this before, you know, where people kind of, they come to understand history and all this. So when you have a time come around from Memorial Day, you know, they have a real dismissive attitude and can really come up across to your average person as they're like being, you know, what do I want to say, disrespectful to the troops who have, quote unquote, died for our freedom. Now, see, I think that's a mistake. And I do. I think that's a mistake. And I think you have to contextualize all of this together. I think you can understand the reality of history without being disrespectful, dismissive, or, you know, just really disrespectful, I guess I want to say, of, quote unquote, the troops, you know, and those who went and died for our freedoms. Well, of course, they didn't go die for our freedoms. But that doesn't mean, you know, those people's lives should be treated or should be viewed disrespectfully. And I think it's a bad look, and I think it's something that, you know, is just completely unnecessary and in a way shows a lack of understanding of the proper context of these things. Now, for people that go off and fight, you have to understand in the history, most of these wars that the U.S. has fought in its history, because we're talking about Memorial Day here in the U.S. For so many of these wars, the people on, you know, who were looked at on Memorial, remembered on Memorial Day, they were conscripted. You know, you heard the media running around saying, oh, Russia's just using these poor conscripted troops. Well, that's what Ukraine is using. But the ugly fact is that the U.S. has fought most of its wars with conscripted troops. So these guys really didn't get a choice in the matter. You're swooped up. They send you off to boot camp. They stick a rifle in your hand and say, go dig in the ditch and shoot that other guy. And by the way, if you question that and don't shoot that other guy, he's going to shoot you and everybody you know around you. Any soldier that you talk to, any military man, and I'm talking actual military man, not some general who's never going to see a battlefield in his life. Some officer's never going to see a battlefield in his life. I'm talking about actual grunts that go out there and fight. Every one of them will tell you, they're not fighting for the free. They weren't there fighting for the freedom. They weren't there fighting for the democracy. They weren't there fighting for gay rights or feminism or any of this other gibberish that they give to the masses to consume. And you say, well, you were fighting. What were you fighting for? And they'll say, I was fighting to stay alive and I was fighting to keep my friends alive. That's the reality. You put a guy together and a group of other men, and they're going to be camaraderie. They're going to be they're going to be comrades in arms, and they're going to be more or less on some level friends. Now you got a bunch of strangers over here. And you're shooting each other. You're going to try to keep the guys you know that are your friends. They're trying to keep you alive. You're going to fight for them to keep them alive. This just makes basic common sense. You're not sitting there going, man, this shot here, if I hit this guy, that's just one more child that can become a tranny. That's not what they're doing. They're just trying to keep themselves alive and their friends alive. Those guys are strangers. That means they get killed. Is that plain? Any soldier, any grunt will tell you that's what they're fighting for, to stay alive and to keep their friends alive and to get back home. They ain't worried about these lofty political excuses. That's just pablum for the masses. That's just to sell this. Because when you send somebody's You know, and as y'all know, I hate, you know, this fake, you know, sadness, this fake mourning that people do, especially now in the age of social media. You know, when somebody gets killed or you hear about a shooting somewhere and it's highly publicized, they wouldn't care about it if it wasn't highly publicized. The media tells them they're supposed to care about it. All these people run out and virtue signal about, oh, my heart is broken for these dead children. No, it's not. You don't know them. You just, this is about how you feel. And you want other people to talk about what a good person you are because you're telling them how bad you feel about it. You don't know those people. For their loved ones and their family and their friends, yeah, they're sad. Someone they knew got killed. Memorial Day is like the crack cocaine version. The crack cocaine version of that. Everybody in the country is supposed to take a moment, and they don't, by the way. It's just one of those everybody's glad to get an extra day off for the weekend from their wage cuckery job, which, by the way, just most of them don't get weekends off anyway, and they don't even get Memorial Day. But under the old program, you would get a long weekend. And if you get that long weekend, you're going to maybe have a barbecue or just chill out at the house, drink, you know, have some friends over, drink beer. You ain't sitting around thinking about no troops. But it's played up, and people go out and they moralize about remembering our fallen heroes, and this is why we're not speaking Japanese today, because of our heroes that died in the past, and memorializing the heroes. Again, this is consumption for the masses. When you send out, but for those who really do feel the mourning and the loss, which is somebody whose loved one does get sent over to one of these wars, they go to one of these wars, and your husband, brother, father, notice I'm not mentioning any women here, because wars are fought by men. I'm saying they send women over into a more or less war zone, regardless of what role they're playing. A certain percentage of them are going to get killed. But we're talking about people sent off specifically to do the fighting. So we're talking about men. You got a brother, father, what uncle, whatever the case may be, friend, close friend, who goes off into one of these wars and dies. And their family, this stuff is... Their family is going to cling to anything to make their death meaningful. This is, again, another thing of human nature. You see this played out when people die of, you know, sometimes just silly, foolish behavior. You know, people die of silly, foolish behavior, and their parents will be on TV making rounds talking about, I'm making my child's death. I want to make my child's death mean something. So I'm starting this activist group to raise awareness about whatever, fill in the blank issue. And you're sitting there, everybody already knows that. Your kid just, you know, in a moment of foolishness or whatever, went and did something really stupid and got killed. Life is frail like that. Life is fragile like that. Young people tend to underestimate how easily you can be killed. But they have to, you see this thing, they got to make their death mean something. So they write a book or they go on a media tour and talk about, or they start a foundation and they start talking about raising awareness about something that most people are aware of anyway. But they got to make their lives mean, their death mean something. This is, again, this is a human nature thing. And I'm not mocking or belittling these people, but it is. It's a human nature thing. The government takes advantage of that. Your husband has gone off and gotten blown up. They're not going to come and say, well, we appreciate him going and dying, but rest assured, you know, such and such corporations' profits are going to take a 2% bump this year because of your husband's sacrifice. Sucks that your kids are going to grow up without a daddy, but, you know, hey, those corporate, no, we're not, they're going to share those corporate profits with you. No, no. But look, here's this neat folded flag. All these soldiers are going to stare at you and give you a salute. Your son, your brother, your husband, he was a hero. He fought so you'd be safe here. He fought them over there so that you wouldn't be facing them over here. You could be running from Japanese right now. How would you like that? You could be running. You could have your town could be being run by the Taliban. But because your husband went over there, you're not facing that. He gave an ultimate sacrifice for your freedom. They play up on that need to have the death of a loved one, somebody you care about, to mean something. I point this up because it is just a, cold, calculating manipulation. And it's not an accident. They know what they're doing. All these ceremonies and the pomp and the circumstances. They know what they're doing. When they promote the patriotism, largely in the South and in more rural areas, and they'll have these big talks about, you know, the hero troops, is where it's really promoted. The hero troops, and my gosh, this guy was a hero, and we're putting a monument up to this guy. You know, the town will come together. You know, not the federal government that sent him to go get killed, but the town people who knew this guy will put up a statue, and they'll talk about what a hero and he was. And this is encouraged so that more guys, because we don't, you know, I'm talking about how many of these guys that went to wars, they went because they were drafted. Well, we don't have that right now. It could come back, but we don't have it right now. And what that does is it actually helps recruit the next guy to go get killed for corporate profits. It encourages these people, and they've already, with, you have to have the context and the background of any hope for an economic future has been removed. They've spent their entire school lives now being told, especially if they're a white male, they've been told that they're evil and horrible. They're the cause of all wrong and injustice in their world, and their lives are pretty much meaningless. And they, when they get out of high school, they don't have any kind of real economic future. They're not going to get a job that they can work their whole life and retire with a pension. Those are gone. They're going to have nothing, dead-end jobs. And on the other hand, they're presented this, you could, though, you know, in spite of all of that, if you don't want to become trans and you don't want to work a dead-end, meaningless job in some service industry, we do have another option. You, too, could become a hero for the democracy and the freedom. Yes, they're not drafted, but if you give a man no real choice, a young man, no real choice. And a young man, they always have to have young men, because see, a young man underestimates once again how easily you're going to die, how easily you can be killed. An old man goes, I ain't doing that. That's a good way to get killed. A young man, just by his very nature, death is something for everybody else. He's still got a long road ahead of him. On Memorial Day, every one of those tombstones with a flag sticking on it, every one of those guys thought that at one point thought that death was something for somebody else. They were going to make it back alive. But they didn't. They always have to target the young man, because the young man thinks, well, I'll get through this somehow. I've got my whole life in front of me. Yes, these guys aren't drafted, but when you give a man no other real choice, you can become trans, or you can, or work a pointless service job with no dead-end future. You're never going to actually have a wife and start a family, because that's going to be financially impossible for you. Or you can become a hero and fight for the democracy and the freedom. And, you know, hey, we might even offer you, you know, some bonus, some money, you know, which is in the government budget, pennies to them. But to some poor guy, some poor young man in a rural southernish town, it sounds like a lot of money. I can buy a new pickup with that. Well, okay, wait, I can't buy a new pickup with that. I can buy a less crappy old pickup with that money. And they sign up. And they sign up to go off to these wars. Now, I think pacifists are silly, naive, childish people. No, I do. Well, I mean, war and conflict is a reality. That's the world. That's just how the world has operated since the beginning and how it'll operate until the end. War is reality. And to act like you can just somehow exclude yourself from that and you can deny that reality and somehow the world will change around you is just, again, childish and naive. With that having been said, I'm very much anti-war, and I've always been anti-war, and I tell everybody, I always tell people I'm very anti-war, because it's always the regular people that suffer. The regular working people, the regular Joe Blow on the street. No matter what side of the conflict. And when you understand, this is part of understanding history. This is why I think, quote-unquote, historical revisionism, in other words, understanding the actual truth of history, it's not, you're not revising anything. You're just finding out what the truth is versus, you know, the spoon fed lies they tell you. And it just means every side has their own real motivations. And at the end of the day, they're not these romanticized good versus evil nonsense that they feed people so they'll buy into it. They're always very calculating reasons. But when you understand the reality of history, you can't help but to become anti-war. Because at the end of the day, it's always, like I say, it's always the regular people that suffer. It's not those guys or evil Germans or evil Japanese or evil Afghanis or evil Iranians or evil whatever. The regular working people, I talked earlier about the troops, you know, you ask any grunt, well, they're shooting at those guys to keep themselves and their friends alive. Well, guess what? By and large, that's what those guys over there who are shooting back at them are doing. They're fighting to keep themselves alive. And unfortunately, when you look at the vast majority of America's history, those guys are also fighting for their family because they're in their country. The U.S. fights all of its wars in someone else's countries, or has so far, have fought all of its wars in someone else's country. So they're fighting for family and soil. But they're fighting to stay alive. It's always the regular people that suffer. Now, again, that doesn't mean I'm a pacifist. I think that's a silly, childish view of the world. The world doesn't work on absolutes. If we all just refuse to fight, then the world will be... No, because there's always going to be somebody that's going to convince a group of people to go take your stuff. And if they got to kill you to do that, they're going to do that. So that's the reality of the world, but I'm still anti-war. Most wars have no reason to be fought. You look at the current conflict in Ukraine, just as an example. You get past all of the gibberish propaganda that's fed to everybody. This whole thing could have been very easily avoided. There's no reason for NATO to be on Russia's border. Russia's not getting ready to, has not been, and is continuing to not be getting ready to invade Europe. Now, that might change. Because this conflict is very much escalating and could very much escalate, and that could change. But leading up to this conflict, Russia very clearly spelled out their concerns. And honestly, what they requested was very reasonable. Now you get demonized for saying this. Hell, in Germany, they just arrested a guy for quote-unquote supporting Russia in Germany. But the reality and the truth is, the conflict could have been avoided. But the conflict wasn't avoided. And who's getting slaughtered? Regular people from both sides. These Ukrainians that are... And again, you can understand the realities of these conflicts without dehumanizing people. These Ukrainians, people, if they're on the Russia side of this conflict, they're sympathetic to the Russian side. And they'll say, these Ukrainian pigs. Well, some guy that got snatched off the street who's my age or 16 or whatever range in between gets thrown a rifle and kicked in there to be cannon fodder for the Russians. He's not a pig. He was a guy who was minding his own business, walking down the street, got drug off by men with guns, probably beat up and thrown into the meat grinder. Because they figure, well, heck. His life means nothing, and maybe we can slow the Russians down. Maybe they'll eventually run out of ammunition. You don't need to dehumanize people when you understand history. And perhaps this gets us to the point of our discussion today. We can understand that the U.S. fights wars against countries that really aren't a threat to it. I would maintain that really... Pretty much the entirety of the U.S.'s history of wars are always against countries that are no threat to them. Now, if you haven't studied history, this comes off as extremely offensive. People come off extremely, what do you mean? We fought the Nazis and Hitler did not have a conquest the world agenda. That's just silly. The Japanese, this small island nation, was not going to conquer the USA. There was zero chance that that was ever going to happen. But they'd tell the people that. You want to be speaking German? Didn't think so. You don't want to be speaking Japanese and eating, you know, working in a rice paddy somewhere now, do you? When you look back with an open mind and you look back, all of these narratives everybody gets fed are really just silly. Were we going to get conquered by the Vietnamese, who now all of a sudden they're grooming to be an ally against China? Who's the good guy? Who's the narrative good guy versus the narrative bad guy? It gets swapped up all the time. They're interchangeable. You're the good guy right now. You can understand, though, and you can understand this history, though, without dehumanizing. And like I said, and this kind of brings me back to the original point, the point of this discussion, because I'll see people that have, you know, they understand the lies they've been told on history, and they will go out and they will say things to people who are generally going to be the people who are uninitiated in these things, and they haven't studied the truth of history, and they'll just come out and be just, you know, disrespectful. Well, you know, what's that? Your son died in Afghanistan? Too bad here, but you know he died for nothing. You know he just died for the military-industrial complex's profits. I don't care anything about these troops. They volunteered. Screw them. They can go die. You see, that's not necessary. It's not necessary, and it's not correct. To truly understand the context of these things, you understand that these involve people. The people over there who died, whether it's Vietnamese, Japanese, people in the Middle East, whoever, all these people. And I hate it because I always get these things reported as numbers, you know. Over, you know, 500,000 people, you'll hear this figure. I can't remember the exact figure off the top of my head, but at one point they said over 1 million Iraqi children or 1 million Iraqis died because of U.S. actions, not just the armed part of it, but medicine embargoes and so far and so forth. Madeleine Albright was famously quoted on 60 Minutes as saying, yes, it was totally worth it for all of them to die. But they're just, it's so easy to lose sight of the fact that, say, 1.2 million Iraqis. Every one of that's just a number we can't comprehend. It doesn't mean anything to you. Every one of those people was somebody. That was somebody that had a hope for the future. They had a dream that someday they were going to go do something. They look different and they talk different and they have a different culture and they're not you. They're a different race of people than you. And all that as well is well and good, but they still had dreams. They still had hopes. You may not understand those dreams, those hopes, or whatever they hoped for in life, but those people, every one of those 1.2 million people, that was a person. It was a person that when they were born, their mama and their daddy looked at them and said, wow, we brought a baby into this world. What's their life going to be like? It was a person who had a dream. It was a person who thought, I'm going to go on and my life is going to be this, this, and this. And then hopefully someday maybe I can do this, this, and this. And then maybe I'll have children of my own or so on and so forth. It's real people. It's the same when we talk about Memorial Day. These guys buried in the ground with a headstone on them. The geopolitical reality of why these wars are fought doesn't take away from the fact that every one of those people had a dream. That was somebody's son. That was somebody's husband. That was somebody's brother. There was somebody that cared about them. And they're gone. They were taken away from them. Now, it's not hard to understand why those who benefit from these conflicts, who aren't laying under a pretty white headstone in some cemetery somewhere, their kids don't ever go and fight in these, and they profit from all of this. It's not hard to understand why they have to dress this stuff up in patriotism and our freedoms and our democracy and all of the rest of the gibberish. It's not hard to understand. They went out and told the truth. Well, there would be a mob. You know, they showed up at a military funeral and said, I appreciate your kid dying so that, I could get a bigger kickback from, you know, Raytheon or Lockheed Martin or whoever the hell else. you know, they liable to not get out of there alive, no matter how much security they got. So, of course, they're going to dress it up. They're going to dress it up in this gibberish. At the end of the day, every one of those people lying there and under those headstones, they were real people. Yes, we know the real reason these wars are fought, and it is important. It is important to understand that, and at the appropriate time, to share that truth with people. But if you can't share that reality and that truth without mocking and being disrespectful to regular people who are always the victims of these wars, regular people, that whether they were drafted or just had no real future ahead of them and chose, unfortunately, to believe a lie about your life will have meaning if you go do this. You know, if you can't share that truth without, like, dehumanizing and being disrespectful of these people, who, again, these are real people. These were people who didn't understand these things because they didn't hear the truth. They wouldn't have volunteered for that if they heard people like us saying, well, this is the reality. Then when the recruiters come around and said, hey, I'm ready to offer you a future, they just slammed the door in their face. Like, I don't think so. They didn't hear the truth. But if you can't share that truth without being disrespectful and being crass and rude, then you're not doing it right. I mean, you're not grasping the concept. You need to expand your ability to share these truths. Again, these were regular people. And ultimately, they were the biggest victims of the lies that were told. And in this sense, they did pay the ultimate price. I'm going to wrap up. Thank you for joining us for today's installment of the Daily Nationalist. Daily Nationalist should be back on Thursday. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson should be with you. Don't want to miss that. You're going to want to tune in. Of course, we're going to have content up every day of the week, you know, minus the weekends. But Monday through Friday, there's going to be something new up every day. That's the plan. My show, Parish of the Patriots, will be up tomorrow on Tuesday. Dr. Johnson's Orthodox Nationalist Wednesday. He'll be back for the Daily Nationalist on Thursday. I'll be back Daily Nationalist on Friday. There's something always going to be up. So be sure and keep tuning in. Be sure and keep listening. And we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.